So church, as we start now in this time in God's Word together this evening, just consider with me something concerning why we're even here this evening, and something just about Christianity, we might say, in general. And as for what it is, it's thinking about how one of the most unique things about the biblical Christian faith, as we call it, and just so you know, by that word faith, we're not talking about some non-rational leap. We're talking about what we Christians really know and believe to be true, what we bank our lives on. But one of the most important things and unique things about our faith is how the very center of it, historically and doctrinally and truly, is this cross of Jesus. This brutal Roman crucifixion, this cross of Jesus of Nazareth, whom we know, of course, to be the King of the universe. And I know whether you're here and you're somebody who does love and follow Jesus, or you're here and you're not even a Christian, either way, we all now are familiar with this idea of Jesus and his death on a cross. Right, we know that the Christian message is God became one of us. He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He really died. And then, yes, he rose, which come back on Sunday to talk more about that. But the center of it all is this crucified God-man, which is a little bit weird, right? When you really think about it, forgetting about how used to it we are, it can sound weird that that's the center of it all. And consider, we can say it's weird and unexpected because of many reasons. For example, we can say it's weird because we're saying that the Creator God truly came here, he became one of us, and he also chose to die. Or we could talk about how it's weird and unexpected because of the historical horrors of crucifixion. And I mean, just look into it yourself and study crucifixion in history and you'll see crucifixion was basically never really talked about because it was so awful and almost embarrassing to speak of. And yet, that's how the God-man chose to die. Or just one last example, we could say it's weird and unexpected because then we're called by this same God, by Jesus, to then, quote, take up our own crosses and follow him because of what he did for us. And so all that's true. And church, almost as a quick side note, I just want you to know it is kind of good for us sometimes to stop and just consider what we believe and even the strangeness of it, because it helps us appreciate it afresh. And plus, for those of you who maybe are here and don't fully believe this all yet, perhaps you should just consider that this evening, especially how, to be honest, the strangeness of all this kind of proves that this isn't just made up. Because if it was people making it up, they wouldn't write about it like this. It's too strange, too embarrassing in their original culture, too seemingly unbelievable at first. But okay, so all that's weird. But all that said, and now bringing us to the passage you heard this evening in our Good Friday time here, Good Friday, to add to all of that, there is perhaps one more strange thing, though, maybe the most confounding of all, that we should add to our list. And again, this is something that human beings really wouldn't make up, but it also shines with such a beauty. And it's this. So yes, the cross of Jesus is strange in itself, but also when we probe even deeper, what's amazing is that on the one hand, this event we're celebrating here this evening was the worst thing in all of human history to ever take place. The most terrible and tragic event in all of human history, bar none, because the crucifixion of not only a totally innocent man, the only truly innocent man who's ever lived, but also the crucifixion of God in the flesh, it's awful, shocking, wrong, horrifying in its emotional and physical and judicial aspects. So the worst event, bar none. And though, at the same exact time, it was the most beautiful and glorious and helpful event that's ever happened as well. All in the same exact event. Literally the same event. And in basic church, it is that that we're going to be talking about a bit this Good Friday evening now together. How this cross we're here to think about, because it happened in history 2,000 years ago, to this man who was and is God, but also was and is really one of us, how it is the most terrible and tragic thing, but also the most beautiful and beneficial thing as well. And to get at how that is or why that is, well, first, let's just be clear, we're not going to get at all the reasons why this evening. We don't have time to do that. But what we will do now is we're just going to follow God's word here in the passage you heard in Hebrews chapter 2. And in this pretty short passage, we're going to notice together a couple of reasons, two reasons, for why this cross we're here for this evening, again, was so terrible and tragic, but also so beautiful and helpful. And so that's what we're going to do now, primarily letting God speak to us, seeing these two reasons together, and then we will close our time by making sure we directly apply it to us. But all that said, so again, I hope you have your Bibles open. Please have your Bible open because God speaks to us in this book. And for our first reason, now look down at verses 14 and 15 again. The author of Hebrews, writing to Christians like us, he says this. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. All right, so we don't have time to get into all of that, but I do hope you can get a glimpse of what the Bible's saying here, because now let's go through the verses. So to begin, notice in verse 14, there it's clear first that God became one of us and truly one of us. The Bible says that when it says, since therefore the children of God, that's God people, share in flesh and blood, he, Jesus, likewise partook of the same things. So we need to know this Good Friday, Jesus truly was and is one of us. But why? Why did he do that? Well, the rest of verse 14 again, quote, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. So now think of it. We've got the devil here somehow being told us that he had the quote-unquote power of death. And just so you know, elsewhere in the Bible, it's clear the devil has that power of death over us primarily because of unforgiven sin. And please, just think about that for a second. That's not a small thing. Rather, consider this. If you and I had never done anything at all wrong, the Bible is clear. We not only wouldn't deserve to die, because sin is what brought death into the world, but even more so, the devil wouldn't have any legit hold on us because we'd be innocent and we'd be by default on God's side. But since we are messed up and sinners, well, death has come into this world through sin, and the devil does have some power of death over us. And so tracking with God's word here, so Jesus becomes one of us to defeat the devil and that power of death. But then finally on these verses, that's not even it, because then in verse 15, remember, he adds this, quote, and to deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. And brothers and sisters, that right there is probably the most psychological and existential thing that's said in our passage this morning. Because let's be real, we all naturally fear death. That's just true of human nature. But what these verses clearly from God's word say is that God became one of us, truly, that's Jesus. And why? Well, to defeat the devil and his power of death. And he does that by forgiving us, truly. We're going to get to that. But then finally, the point also is, church, that because of that, one of the main benefits for us as Christ followers is, therefore, if we trust in this Jesus, as a result, we don't have to, quote, be subject to lifelong slavery to this, quote, fear of death. Instead, we're rescued from that by this Jesus who became one of us. And in brief, that's verses 14 and 15. I know they're a little bit confusing, but hopefully you see that. And therefore, back to our point this evening, though. So that's good news, right? In fact, that's one of the best aspects of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. We are forgiven and we are rescued from the fear of death. But also notice what we haven't emphasized much yet from these verses is how it's even possible for a Savior, for our Savior to do that. Meaning, if you're tracking, we should feel, yeah, that's great, but But what did he have to do to free us from that slavery? How did he defeat the devil? What happened to rescue human beings from such a prominent fear? And that's where those two small and yet shocking in a way verses in the middle of verse 14 come in. You know them, the simple words, he did it, quote, through death. Through death. You notice that? Church, those two words are so massive because now, let's make it crystal clear, especially at this point, especially on this Good Friday evening, we need to know the Bible's plain that if this loving release from the slavery of sin and death could have happened any other way, it would have. But here's ultimately reality. In order for us to truly be forgiven, in order for the real devil who knows about justice, in order for him to no longer have a legit hold on us, and in order to make it that you and I don't need to existentially fear death, Jesus had to die in our place. He accomplished this through death, which again should kind of emotionally confuse us at first, right? Because the question then becomes, okay, so how should I then respond to this awful death that he went through? And the point is, and you can see the author of Hebrews kind of feeling this as he writes this, we should feel, man, this is a great and loving thing. Jesus became flesh and blood for me, for us, to deliver us from the slavery to death. He took my sin. It's amazing. But he himself did die and suffer terribly for that to happen. And so thinking of the cross again, we should feel it is absolutely tragic and awful. He became like me to die, the very fearful thing that he's rescuing me from. And also, though, we should feel him doing that is the most stunningly beautiful and helpful thing as well at the same exact time. Okay, so that's reason number one here concerning what we're talking about. But now, let's just continue on and see another reason for this. Now look down at those verses 16 and 17 in Hebrews 2, 16 and 17. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. All right, so now continuing on in God's word in verse 16, the author makes the point to start that concerning what he's writing about, Jesus surprisingly didn't do this for angels, even though in the created order you could argue they're higher. Instead, he did this for people, specifically for the true offspring of Abraham, bringing us all the way back to the Old Testament and the promises that through Abraham, God would bless the nations. That promise is fulfilled in Jesus in the New Testament and his people. And the point is, Jesus does this to help them. And that word help, you can see, is a key word because it shows up twice in verse 16. So he's helping. But then we should wonder, but how does he help specifically? What's the help that is in mind here? And that's where verse 17, which starts with that word therefore, you can see it comes in. And please just listen up here on this Good Friday evening, because verse 17, church, is the primary way in the whole New Testament that Jesus helps us in his death. And it is why we're here this evening, and to hear it. Verse 17 again, therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. All right, so notice, Jesus really had to become like us. That's repeated. But then in how he helps, there's two connected truths here about Jesus. Truth number one is that Jesus was, and he is, church, quote, a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God. So he's ultimately serving God his Father by being merciful and faithful to us, his people. And both of those words are huge, right? Merciful, meaning he treats us consistently better than we could ever deserve. And faithful is important because that means he's not going to change. He's not going to turn on us. Right? So that's the first truth in verse 17 about Jesus. But then the second truth about Jesus is the deepest and key point. So he became a merciful and faithful high priest serving God, and that's shown most specifically, and here's Good Friday, church, by how in his death he made, quote, propitiation for the sins of the people. And now in a short time like this, we don't have time to get into as deep of a conversation as that word deserves, but in basic, here's what that word is getting at, church. It's that Jesus truly on the cross, he wasn't just dying to show an example of love, though he was, nor was he just giving an example of sacrifice, though he was, nor was he just dying as a victim, though he was. Rather, bigger and deeper in the Bible is this term. This term that in ancient times was used to describe someone or something coming in and taking the judgment of a just God upon itself so that that God could be rightly said to be okay, pleased, happy, judgment over. Meaning Jesus on the cross, he took the judgment and punishment and wrath of God against all his people's sins, making propitiation. And really, just quickly on that, especially as it's Good Friday, just please know, we've said this at ECC before, but if you're newer here, you forget this, please know that the wrath of God, church, in reality, it exists because God is love. Because we all know it. The opposite of love isn't actually anger. Rather, the opposite of love is either hatred or usually it's indifference. Because, for example, if someone was really hurting someone I loved, or think of somebody that you love, just think of them right now. If somebody was really hurting them and you or I were witnessing it and we responded with whatever, that'd be the opposite of love. Because rather, in that moment, since we love them, we wouldn't want them to be hurt. Meaning we'd have a legit anger out of love. That's not archaic. That's how love works. And so the point is, in his rightness, in his love, that's God toward all the sin in his world, toward those he made and cares for. It's our sin contributing to that. And so the God of love has right anger towards sin, but Jesus steps in and takes that on himself, propitiating for the sins of the people. And that's the climax of what took place on the cross. And therefore, once again, back to our point this evening, that's also where we see, maybe perhaps biggest of all, how terrible and tragic the cross was, because bearing the anger of a holy God is the most terrifying thing possible. And it was tragic because Jesus is the only person who didn't deserve to take any of it. And yet again, it's stunningly beautiful and helpful, because it's exactly what we needed. And he did it willingly out of love for us. And so, that's this passage. It's a couple reasons why the cross is so terrible and yet beautiful. And from all that, on this Good Friday evening, church, and for those of you maybe visiting here, to apply that now directly to us, we each should respond with just one of two ways. Response number one, as if you're here and you're genuinely already a Christian, please just take this time to reappreciate Jesus this evening. Meaning, let's all just acknowledge this cross is the center of our faith. And at the cross, Jesus died as the propitiation in the most gruesome, horrifying way, the worst thing in all of world history, full stop. And though it was what we most desperately needed, it was the most loving thing that's ever taken place. And we will praise Jesus forever because of it. And so again, if you're a Christian, just reappreciate that this Good Friday evening. Think of Jesus, his care, his sacrifice, and allow that to make you want to follow him more. And so that's the takeaway for us as believers. But then finally, say you are here on this Good Friday evening and you don't love Jesus for this yet. If that's you, as we close, I do just encourage you, perhaps on this Good Friday 2026, that you just take time to maybe think to yourself, man, what if this is all true? What if this is all true? Maybe not even stopping at the what if question, perhaps even bigger, consider doesn't this actually make a lot of sense of what I feel deep inside, of realities like right and wrong, of love, of needing a solution to what's off in the world? Because sure, especially these days, we all know it. We come in here for church frequently or sometimes, but then in our days, we all live in a culture that constantly seeks to just imply to us that you're really just a product of time and chance, that you're just here mainly for a blip, trying to get as much happiness or success or self-fulfillment as you can, but then that's it. But for all of us in here this evening, let's realize that that doesn't take account for things like real meaning or morality even in our universe, nor for this deep feeling we all have for more, nor again, especially for the sense that we all know it. Yeah, we're not the worst, but we also feel that we're not right, that we shouldn't be like we are, that we're not living how we were designed to live. And not only that, but we also all know that things like sacrifice and deep love, those are things that actually matter. And so the point is, if you feel any of that this Good Friday evening, just know you feel all that to whatever degree because it's objectively true. The ultimate storyline of the universe is that we were each intentionally created and loved, but now the world has fallen, we're broken and messed up, we're naturally separated from the God who made us, who loves us, but the same Creator God came on a legitimate rescue mission in Christ. And Jesus' death for others was the center of that mission. His cross, which one last time was the most terrible thing ever and the most beautiful thing, and it's what humanity needs. And so again, if you're here and you're a Christian, just love Jesus more because of it. And if you're here and you haven't trusted in Jesus yet, maybe do so this evening. I encourage you, don't let this just be another year, another Easter season where you go through the religious motions. Instead, realize who Jesus is right now, what he's done, and trust him with your heart and your life. Amen? Amen. Let's pray, and then we'll sing together, church. Let's pray.